Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, we will get to your phone calls.
Back when things were good there in the open.
Yeah.
Morton missing it. Oh, that was a...
That's the kind of missed field goal you can get behind.
That was a beautiful day.
Ah, Tony. Where to go? Where to go to here? Go to Tampa, right? But we're going to look back on what should have been. I mean, to me, I don't care. There's just no... Don't tell me that's another NFL team out there. At some point, you got to beat mediocre teams. You got to be expected to beat teams who are playing a quarterback that hasn't started a game in 3 years. You know what it was like? It was like Matt Hasselbeck got his gold watch, right? Hey, Matt, we're not going to give you a gold watch for retirement. We're only going to let you start one more game. We're going to let you handpick the opponent. All right, who are you going to take? I'll take the Jags coming in at home. And I got my last W as the starting quarterback in the National Football League. I mean, that's what it was like yesterday. Everyone's like writing stories, you know, the ancient Colts crew able to knock off the Jaguars. There's no way, zero way it's acceptable to lose that football game yesterday.
No, period. We talked about it all last week. I said it on here all last week. The game going to Indianapolis was the most important of the Caldwell-Bradley regime. Since they've gotten here, it's the most important game that's been played since those two got here to Jacksonville. And on Friday when the news came out that it looked like Andrew Luck probably wasn't going to play, they had signed Josh Johnson as a backup quarterback just in case. And when we were on here on Friday, Mike, before we left, we both said, you have to win this game. If Matt Hasselbeck is going to be the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, there is no excuse. There is no way that it can play out that it is acceptable to lose to the Indianapolis Colts and what I think is I don't even think it's a mediocre. I think it's a bad roster, minus Andrew Luck, and you lost to him. However it happened, whether it's because you committed just a landslide of penalties, especially on one drive, you missed two game-winning field goals in overtime, whatever the circumstances were that led you to losing that game is absolutely unacceptable from this football team, this coaching staff, and those players. So any of the anger that fans are feeling today, I think, is completely justified. The questions that people are going to start really asking very loud about this rebuild that we've been talking about now for 3 years, and now we're in year three, and what's it going to look like when this is the year where everyone expects it to take that step forward? I don't care what injuries they're dealing with. What you saw on the field yesterday, simply not good enough for a team that told you before the season started they felt like the answers were in that building. For a team that, for the fans out there, everyone thought the expectation should be set at 6 to 8 wins this year. You tell me how in the heck a team that is 1-3 right now, if they can't beat Matt Hasselbeck, how is this team winning 6?
I don't know. How is this team winning 4?
Right. It's the expectations you had before the season are dead. Right now, they're dead.
Now, that doesn't mean they can't defy that.
No.
And they can, but there's no reason to sit here and logically expect that at this point in time if you can't win that football game.
No, that's one that you absolutely have to have. And for fans out there that are holding on to hope, or they think that, well, when we get Julius Thomas back and when we get Sendarek Marks back, and we'll look like a different team, and maybe they will. Maybe they will. The point is, they lost the game yesterday that it's inexcusable to lose. Can't lose it. Can't lose a game to Matt Hasselbeck and that cruddy Indianapolis Colts roster. You held Frank Gore down to nothing. He was a zero in that game. Matt Hasselbeck averaged 6 yards an attempt. 6! How the hell do you lose that football game?
13 penalties and 3 missed field goals. 3 because he got 2 chances because Pagano bailed him out with the timeout at the end of regulation. That's how you lose it, honestly. And failure to capitalize in the red zone.
Yeah.
0 points after halftime again for this football team. All right, we got to take a break so we stay on time today. 641-1010 phone line is going to be bubbling over today. Also, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Today on Twitter, we ask you what 3 words... Oh, boy. Best describe how you're feeling about this team today. You can text us your answers. You can tweet us your answers at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. There have been some creative ones already.
Oh, yeah.
Well done, Jaguar fandom out there. And, of course, the Jaguars Today Facebook page is open for business as well. On a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, we'll come back with your calls next. It's Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It was a great game. Great game to watch, great game to be a part of. But, you know, I thought we made plays all over the field. You know, there's other plays that could be made along with those field goals. So we didn't, but a lot of things can be taken from this game.
understand Gus is who he is, and you are who you are, right? It would be like telling me, Tony, be Mr. Positivity and sunshine all the time. Not in me to do it all the time. I'm not that guy. Gus is the guy who believes that he's going to look for the bright side, at least in his public utterances on this team. I'm sure he chews some ass behind the scenes. At least I hope he does. But I think when you go, that's a great game to be a part of. When you're a team that's won 8 out of the 36 games that you've coached here, that to me is a little tone deaf. To tell the fan base that's a great game to be a part of. Like, wow, what an honor it was to go get beat by Matt Hasselbeck and the Colts in this stadium. To me, that's a game. That's a thing you say when you're a perennial 10-win team and you lose a tough one and maybe you made some mistakes and you should have made it, but it was an exciting game. It was back and forth. And your fan base is like, you know what? Chalk it up. We'll get them next week because we know we will because we have a track record.
Yeah, and we're going to get to the phones here in just a moment.
Just a second. Seriously.
But this goes to the why it's unacceptable to lose the game because the Colts didn't freaking beat you. They weren't good enough to beat you. The guys they had on the field were not good enough to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Colts won the game, right? They wound up winning the game, but it's because the Jaguars penalty after penalty after penalty, missing those field goals, not taking advantage of the situations when they get down in the red zone. It was you beat yourself, and you're not going to have enough opportunities to win games with this team and learn what it feels like to freaking win on a Sunday afternoon instead of finding different and just elaborately painful ways to lose, which is what they've been doing for 3 years. This was the worst. It was the worst, and it's more unacceptable because the team you had out there on the field, whether you believe it listening to me or not, Jacksonville, was better than the Colts team that was out there yesterday led by Matt Hasselbeck.
And that's why it is unacceptable. You can't afford to lose those. How many games are you going to find a team more vulnerable than that in the National Football
League? You won't.
With that guy playing quarterback yesterday. And I agree, you won't. 6-4-1-10-10, let's get your reaction to it. Try to keep it relatively brief. Don't make too many speeches because we want to get in as many as we possibly can today, says the guy who makes a lot of speeches on the radio. Let's get Steve up first. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Well, I was good until I heard it was a great game to be part of again because I heard his press conference yesterday. Real quick question so we keep it moving. Mike, and what is it going to take for if he loses, continuously loses, how much more of a shot going to take before he sends him on his way? Are we as the season ticket holders and fans going to have to endure this speech of it's a great game to be a part of the rest of the year? And number three, if Gus is going to be here the rest of the year, does he make any like coaching personnel changes to figure out what the heck the problem is? I'm going to keep it brief because I'm really, really upset I was bored to listen to the show. But it was a great call to be a part of, just so you know.
All right, thank you, Steve. We appreciate the call. First, you rarely make staff changes in the middle of a season. I wouldn't expect that.
And we don't know
happen.
What Shot Khan's
I cannot anyway. I cannot speak for what's going on in Shot Khan's mind. I have no idea, Tony. Maybe he swore off to Dave and Gus, I'll give this year no matter what happens. We're going to ride this out and we'll evaluate it. I don't know. I'm not saying he did that. I'm just saying I don't know and I'm not going to guess, you know, what's going on. Look, I'd like to think that they're going to go out and beat the Bucks. They're going to go out and beat the Texans. And then all of a sudden you're 3-3 and let's see what happens from that point forward. I'd like to think that.
Right. It'll change the discussion.
I can't feel that way though. I can't expect to feel that way. And you know, what would have changed if the ball had gone through the uprights yesterday? They would have won, Tony. And they would have, the team reaction to it would have been something to build on. And you would have said, you know what? Despite 13 penalties for 92 yards, we tried to give it away. We were clearly the better team, but you know what? We didn't give it away. And we pulled it out in the end. And that's what the difference is between winning and losing. I'm sorry, one play, everything flips. And I heard T-Wig yesterday, and I'll bring it up to him face to face. He knows that. On the postgame, I was ready to rip this team even if the kick had gone through. I thought, that is crazy. I'm sorry. That's what teams do. If you struggle and you find a way to win, you think the Bears fans are going, oh, man, we didn't win pretty enough yesterday. No, they've been struggling. They found a way to win, right? Come back and pull it out on a last-second field goal and win that game. It's what it's about, bottom line, winning, losing in the National Football League,
period. And I think it's that much more important for a team that is trying to figure out how to win and what it feels like to win games in the NFL. I think it's that much more important for this team. I don't think there wouldn't have been things that you would be coming in on a Monday and saying, look, this has got to be fixed. They got to be better here,
but,
here,
but
and here.
It's easier but to deal with that
right.
when you win.
And you talk about we can learn from this. You can learn from winning a game and looking back on your mistakes
yes.
and saying, at least we overcame
right.
this.
Right. Let's make it easier on ourselves next time.
Like, for a young team, how does it affect the psyche of a young team to come in after losing that game that way? Right, and again, have to watch tape and say, what are we really freaking learning from any of this?
All right, let's get back to the line, 641-1010. Yousef, you're up next. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is Yousef, man. What's going on, y'all?
What's up?
Hey, man, we got to get our kicker back. I don't care what anybody says. I know Scobie doesn't play for us no more.
You're
get
right.
him back.
Why? You're right, he doesn't. Thank you, Yousef. Appreciate it. I'm done with the Scobie talk right there. One call, done. Seriously, you know what? And that's your opinion. You're entitled to it, but... Have you noticed Scobie just went out and got cut for the second time in a month? Okay. Is there maybe a reason for that? Maybe he's not as good as you think he is at this point in his career. He's a great guy. Everybody loves Scobie. It's great. He's terrible. He was terrible this year. I'm not saying Myers has been better. They've both been terrible. Why do you want to replace one guy who's terrible? Because he had past success? You know who used to be good? Jan Stenerud was good, Tony. How old's he? Give him a call. Bring him back. He's in the Hall of Fame. Maybe he's available. I'm sorry. Scobie, you can't blame Caldwell for cutting Scobie. Look at the results from Scobie. You can blame him, if you want, for not having a kicker that could come through, period. It wasn't a decision that we can only have Scobie or Myers. There are a lot of free agent kickers out there. If you don't think one of these guys is good enough, then go find one who is, right? You can blame him for not having one who's good enough, but the guy who he got rid of has not been good enough, period. Nope.
By the way, guys, Josh Scobie has missed the second most amount of field goals since the start of last season. He's missed 10. And so you want to resign
him?
He's
a nice guy.
Nice guy.
He's a nice guy, and he once kicked the 59-yarder against Indy, which guarantees he would have made it yesterday. Well, you know what? He also once won a playoff game with a field goal against Pittsburgh in that stadium. Doesn't matter. What are you doing for me now? And it's a cold world in the National Football League, man. Let's go to Christoph up next across the pond. What's up, Christoph?
I am truly disgusted at the moment. I was at the New York Jets-Dolphins game at Wembley Stadium, and I saw a terrible Dolphins team get beaten down by a decent New York Jets team. And I'm on the train home, and I'm watching the game on my phone. It's like 13-3-0, 10-3, and 13. And I was watching that game, and I was completely disappointed. You look at the stats, nearly 300 yards passing, two turnovers, or we recovered two turnovers, should I say. TJ Yeldon has over 100 yards worth of rushing, and we can't do it. Are we, like, not good enough, and why is it accepted for it not to be good enough? I mean, you're a big sponsor of that JTEC. The amount of excuses and fixes that we got, you could go to JTEC and build a car with the amount of excuses that they've got.
Christoph, listen, I appreciate the call, man. I hope you enjoyed the NFL action across the pond yesterday, but there's not much I can argue with you right there. I mean, that's just a guy expressing his frustration. And, Tony, that's the thing. You outgained him by about 100 yards. You had a 100-yard rusher, 100-yard receiver. Right? You had a quarterback who threw for almost 300 yards. You didn't turn the ball over. You got two turnovers from the other team. What am I missing? Points.
You won time of possession.
You
outrushed them 142-60.
I mean, what am I missing?
In the ball game. There's no reason to lose that game.
No.
Except you did.
You did,
because
right. Because you couldn't put points on the
right.
board. You moved the ball a lot.
The combination of coaches and players wasn't good enough when everything counted the most in that game to get it done.
But honestly, I mean, you dominate a game statistically. And I mean, I think it's fair to say that they dominate, maybe that's a strong word, but they had the clear edge in moving the ball, in productivity, and have the clear edge on, well, missing field goals, obviously. Key mistake, the bad snap cost them greatly. Wisniewski, low snap, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't tell from my angle. Catch the ball. It's low, but still stop it. I mean, yeah, it's a huge loss of momentum killer. You've just moved it on a big play in the other half of the field. On and on it goes. Let's go to Christoph. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Desmond up next on 1010XL. Hi, Desmond. Desmond, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. How are y'all doing, fellas?
Good. What's up?
It's a lot of frustration, but I feel like Scobie went and did it. You know, I mean, yeah, he did good in pass for us, But I feel like he went and did it. But my what I really called for is that.
Wait, did you really start this call with Scobie? Really? All right. Thank you, Desmond. I'm done with Scobie. Have you heard me or not? All right. If that's your opinion, bring it to another show. If you're going to say, hey, you know what? This is our opinion. He didn't play for the Jags, and he stinks right now. Okay. That getting rid of Scobie was not a bad decision. You can argue that keeping Myers was a bad decision because there are other kickers in the sea, so to speak. But Josh Scobie has been terrible. And that's the facts of the matter. So, again, I'm done with the Scobie discussion for today. Mike, you're up next on 1010XL. Go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Between Parnell and House, they were responsible for almost half of the penalties. How do you change that? And also, how do you change the defense to cover the middle of the field? Every team, we just get eaten up down the middle of the field.
All right. I wish I knew. I really, honestly, I wish I was, Tony, savvy enough as a coach, as a play caller, to know what I could do to, you know, cut off certain areas of the field. I don't know. I tell you one thing I would do. I would keep sending the blitz because it seems like when you send four, you've got very little chance of impacting the other quarterback.
Well, against Matt Hasselbeck, they needed to send the blitz, probably even more than they did.
Right.
Because when they let him have time back there, he made some plays. Like it's hard for me to give any credit to Indianapolis in that game yesterday. He mentioned the penalties. This is the biggest stat of the game for me, outside of the two missed field goals, right? The biggest stat of the game for me, when you look at the first down numbers for the Colts, okay, they had 22 first downs in the game. Five of them were from Jaguars penalties. If that number was four, there's a possibility that the Jaguars win this game. If it's just one less than that, there's a distinct possibility that that was enough for the Jacksonville Jaguars to win this football game yesterday.
You never know, because let's say you get them to settle for a field goal on that drive, right? Well, later in the game, maybe they're taking more chances. Maybe they're going for it on fourth down. You know what I mean?
So yeah, but I don't feel good about the Colts in that kind of situation.
I don't feel good,
there was
good,
nothing,
Tony,
they were doing offensively that made me scared of them.
Right.
When the Jags went up 10-3 in that long drive with penalty after penalty after penalty, it felt like at that point in the game, if the Jaguars could ever get it to a two-score game, it's done.
I agree with
it's
you, but
over.
They could. But, Tony, they wouldn't have been in a two-score game. It still would have been, what, 13-6 instead of 13-10?
No, I hear what you're saying.
And even though I agree with you, nothing the Colts were doing was scaring me offensively, yet they found a way to drive down and all the way into chip shot field goal range when it mattered most with a game on the line. They got it done. So who knows what would have happened had they been forced into kind of a do-or-die situation earlier in the football game. I don't know.
And part of that was the emotions of that moment. You just watch your kicker miss two field goals. Like, the defense coming back out on the field has to be...
No
just,
doubt.
Are you freaking serious?
Really, you're asking us to stop them again for the umpteenth time today. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. Johnny O's coming up on the other side with his own nose look at what went down in Indianapolis yesterday. More of your calls coming up as well on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. 641-1010, both the phone in line and the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh Nose with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh Nose.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Gold Monday, Wild West Guns of Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Let me correct myself. I said, use the wrong parlance. I said, when they cut Scobie, you're right. I should have used when they got rid of Scobie. Okay, correct, because obviously they traded him, which is actually a coup now, considering he's been cut a second time in the National Football League in one season to get a sixth-round pick for him. So that is correct. And thanks to those who pointed that out to me on both Twitter and the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. And surprisingly, they did it without calling me a name, which that's okay if you do. I actually kind of look forward to those every once in a while.
Right.
Makes you feel good about yourself. Let's get John Osher in here, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. Hello, Johnny. How are you?
Mike, I'll say this before we start. The name of my segment, Oh Nose?
Yes.
I don't know today. I'll be honest with you.
Oh Nose, nothing more than anybody else is what you're saying.
So for today, let's just change that. I heard Proctor talk. Maybe we can talk Hawks and Pelicans. No,
we cannot. We're not going to get into Hawks and Pelicans, or we're not going to get into Florida, Ole Miss, or any of those other things. We are doing what we do. John.
I'm throwing out my notes then.
All right. throw all those college football notes out the window, please. John, I mean, I know I'm asking a question that probably has no one answer to, but you outgain them. You win the turnover battle. You do so many things that if you look and you say before the game you're going to do these things, you'd say gives you a very high probability of winning that football game. Why can't they score in the second half? Let me start with that. What is the issue with points after halftime with this team?
Well, and I think where you started was what I was thinking as you're about to call. Yeah, you know, all the things that if you step back and try to be analytical, which, you know, part of the job that we have is try to figure it out, right? They did all the things, and they showed what you would hope to show. I mean, for the season, before the game, you thought, if Blake Bortles, you know, throws for 300, and Allen Hurns has a touchdown, and they outgain a team 420 to 320 or something close to that, then they're probably going to win. And then you look in the second half, they go inside Colts territory, I think it was 6 of 8 times. So they're moving. They're not – it's not like last year where you got a bunch of three and out, and you feel like – there's just no way they could ever score on anybody. I never got that feeling in the second half. And then you look up and they have 13, which they had at halftime. So, you know, oh no on that one. I mean, what happens when they get inside the 50 yesterday? Unfortunately, it's what Blake said after the game. It's like they get there and then one or two passes, one or two plays, and they're punting, and then they're doing it over again and doing it over again. You know, I got a ton of emails about play calling last night, and like, you know, I just don't know how to pin that on play calling when the ball's there. You know, I don't know the play calling. I would have maybe been a little more aggressive right at the end in overtime. And, you know, when you sort of settled for the 48-yard field goal, that's what it felt like. But other than that, I don't know.
Yeah, and John, I'm going to ask you a pretty broad question.
I'm not
here.
Trying to be flip about it.
We understand. You
know, we get it. No, we get it because we're trying to figure it out today too, right? I mean, I think everybody is on a day like today. But talking specifically about Gus Bradley, and I get with what you do, with what we do, most of the people we're going to interact with, whether it be on social media or wherever, are going to be the people that are upset enough to write or talk to you about what's going on. But what is your sense of where the fan base stands with Gus Bradley at this point? And is he on the edge right now of losing the Jaguars fan base?
Well, you know, if you listen to my inbox, Twitter feed, whatever, obviously they're mad. They want him out. They're tired of the Gus bus. You know, you guys hear all the tweets that I get in the inbox. It's the same thing. And it's perfectly understandable. So, yeah, right now, the fan base is not very confident, you know, and why should they be? Because they're 1-3, and then you have the history of the last 2 years. So I think that, it would be disingenuous, and you guys would sort of laugh at me if I said anything different. It's a performance business. If this performance is not indicative and they move forward and win, then, you know, you get the fan base back. But right now, it's not good.
Should the Jags be holding kicker tryouts this week?
I don't think so, because it wasn't like the, you know, it's going to sound stupid. It wasn't like the misses were atrocious. It didn't look like he choked it. He just missed them. And at the same time, you know, there's got to be a shorter leash on that than there was a month ago. I don't think it's going to happen. I probably wouldn't do it yet if I was Dave Caldwell, because you believe in this guy and you see the talent, and it wasn't like you didn't get the sense that he just absolutely gagged under the pressure. I mean, they missed by a small margin.
Well, you know, I don't know if he was aware of the whistle. That first one that he got bailed out on the timeout by Pagano missed by a mile.
Well, he said afterward, and it didn't sound – I'm not sure he has the media-savvy experience to lie in this situation. He said afterward that on the first one, I mean, the 53-yarder before the timeout or after the timeout, that he wasn't sure if he should kick it or not after the timeout, and he just took a swing at it. But, you know, so it sounded like his point was he really didn't kick that one the way he would have had it not been the timeout. And, you know, so I don't know about that.
Either way.
Yeah.
You give him a pass on that one.
Counted, yeah, but, again, the two that counted missed, so who cares, right? But I don't know that they're going to try to have kicker tryouts based on that. I'd be surprised, and I'm not sure I would do it yet.
To get a silver lining out of what's gone on through the first four games, John, Blake Bortles is on pace to throw for almost 4,000 yards if he continues at the pace he's at, and 26 touchdowns, maybe it's 24 touchdowns at his current pace. They'd have two 1,000-yard receivers on this team right now on their current projections with both Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson. I guess the question is, have you seen from Blake Bortles what you expected to see through the first month of the season? Has he been good enough in your eyes?
Well, not good enough to win, which is where you need him to be. So, you know, the answer is he playing like a franchise quarterback right now? No, because they're 1-3. And in the second half, the things that we've seen in three first half have gone away, and that's when you need the guy to perform. Now, the other side of that is, you know, if you look at last season to this season, does he look better than he did? I don't remember any times last season where I thought at halftime of a game, man, this kid might be good. Yesterday, at the half, when he's 14 of 18 for 190, he never did anything like that last year, or not very often. So, you know, is there progress? Are there signs? Are there more good signs than bad? I would say, yeah. But we're still talking about, in this league, you need the quarterback to come up big in key situations. And right now, except for the Miami drive that sort of won that game, really hasn't done it enough. And are we talking about this if one of the field goals is 2 feet to the other way? No, but that's how it happens in the NFL.
And that is how it happens. Yeah, yeah, and should you have been in position where one or two, you know, those field goals.
Absolutely.
You should have beaten that team, John. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Flat out should have beaten that team. Never should have come down to a last-second field goal.
The baffling thing is so many things on paper say that you played well enough to do it. And then on these key little situations, which turn into big situations in football, you have the five penalties in the first half on the drive.
Right.
And you have a touchdown that probably shouldn't have been. And then when you feel like you were up on them, which was through the first 2.5 quarters when they were playing well enough to be up, you all of a sudden only had 13. And maybe you should have, the way they're moving the ball, should have had more. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tough one.
All right.
It is a tough one.
What do you have coming up on Jaguars.com?
Oh, just more happy talk, Mike. Mm. I mean, we'll be going live before Gus Bradley's press conference, and you know, it'll be an interesting day answering emails. I can tell you that.
All right, Johnny, we appreciate the insight. I imagine it was not a boisterous plane ride home from Indianapolis. Hopefully, we'll see you over there at some point this week, man. The remodeling continues in the radio studio.
I look forward to seeing it. Look forward to seeing you guys, as always.
All right, buddy. There he goes. John Osier, senior writer for Jaguars.com, the Oh No's segment three or four times a week right here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. We'll get back to your phone calls momentarily. I've been called a liar on Facebook by Teresa. Says I'm a liar. Josh Scobie didn't miss a kick in the preseason. He's 6 out of 10.
Does it matter?
With a missed extra point. In the regular season, when it really counts, he's not good. Again, I'm doing it to myself. I didn't have to bring that up, yet I did. I don't like being called a liar over plainly clear facts in evidence. All right? He's been cut twice now, or cut once, gotten rid of a second time by another team. All right? To come back, this date in football, the Honda drive around the NFL, more of your calls on the other side. 641-1010, the number. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL. 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, let's bang it out so we get back to these phone lines. This date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. 1986, Eric Dickerson ran for an overtime record 42-yard touchdown as the Rams defeated the Buccaneers in overtime. Hey, look, big plays in overtime. Let's go to famous birthdays for this date. Barry Switzer, Super Bowl winning coach with the Dallas Cowboys, born in this date in 1937. He's 78. Wow, I guess that makes sense, but it still makes me feel old. Trace Armstrong, long time, obviously, Florida Gator in college, long time Miami Dolphin, as well as a Chicago Bear. And who did he end his career with, Tony? There's three teams he played with. Trace Armstrong. He played with Miami, played with Chicago. I'm not thinking of the other one right now. Doesn't matter. We're moving on. Jesse Palmer, born in this state. Cup of coffee in the NFL. And you know him more for his work on ESPN. Another former Florida Gator, 37 years old today. And Travis Kelce turns 26 years old today. The Kansas City Chiefs tight end. And that is this date in football history. It's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Whether it's in-home, for your business, re-roof, repairs, one number to know, 287-7756 for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, license number CCC056797. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Green Bay Packers linebacker Clay Matthews let the whole world know, whether he knew it at the time or not, just how he feels about 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick after Kaepernick slid down a yard behind the line of scrimmage on a play yesterday. Cameras picked up Matthews yelling at him, "You ain't Russell Wilson, bro." From Philadelphia Eagles running back DeMarco Murray, he was asked after their loss that dropped him to 1-3 in Washington yesterday whether he thought he was getting enough touches. His answer was interesting. He paused, almost started giving one of those typically evasive answers, and then just said it. No, he doesn't think he's getting enough touches, and that the play calling is the reason why. The four-game suspensions are over for a bunch of big-time players across the league today. Rolando McClain, Sheldon Richardson, Antonio Gates, Martavis Bryant, and Greg Hardy will all be eligible to return to action this week. Hardy will be returning after his reduced four-game suspension with the Cowboys following his court saga involving him and a woman in his apartment and a bed allegedly covered in guns in October, when players across the league will be wearing their pink gear for breast cancer awareness. As a side note, do you know what percentage of the sales of pink NFL merchandise actually go to cancer research? The answer is 8%. So if you want to give money to cancer research,
give it to cancer
then
research.
Just give money to cancer research.
Seriously.
Don't buy pink NFL gear.
It's one of the biggest misconceptions, let's just say. It's kind of like the Livestrong organization, which didn't raise money for cancer research or to it's fight
awareness.
Cancer. For cancer awareness. So we're all aware cancer exists. Way to go, Lance Armstrong. You've done it again.
Goodness.
641-1010. All right. You know they're ticked off when they hold through an entire interview segment, this date, a break, a Honda Drive, and they have done just that. 641-1010. Jim, thanks for hanging on. What can we do for you?
Hey, Mike. Real quick, the thing that concerns me, I'm like you. I don't know all the X's and O's and the play calling and what was right and what could have been, you know, so forth and so on. But what really concerns me more about anything else is this, the internals of this team. And the reason I say that is, you know, I know Jeff blows it off, but this team, I mean, in the NBA, you get disrespected when somebody dunks over you. I mean, and this team all week, all we heard was, you know, that, well, the Colts can win without Andrew Luck against Jacksonville. At what point as a player do you look in the mirror and say, I'm going to go to Indianapolis and I'm going to punch these guys in the mouth, football-wise, to you know, reflect that? Is it Gus? Is it, you know, the older players in the locker room, or what is it? But somebody, I mean, that's the thing that bothers me more about this team, is they don't seem to have that aspect of it. And, you know, you earn respect in everything you do. I mean, you know, you're a legend in the radio business,
yeah,
right?
All right. Yeah, now you're going off the rails here. Only in Australia, by the way.
Only in Australia.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my concern about this team, and I don't know how you fix that aspect of it.
All right, thank you, Jim. I don't know that they weren't angry, Tony. We don't know. We don't. I mean, how does that show up? They dominated them statistically, right? We just talked about they outgained them in all these categories. They gain more yards. They did everything except put up more points. Now, where they didn't dominate them was penalties. Maybe you could say, hey, maybe they were playing with too much aggression on a couple of plays. I don't know. I really don't. But, you know, in the end, I don't – whatever motivates you, whether you're cold and calculating, you let that stuff roll off your back, or you're one of these people that does look for external motivation, different players are motivated by different things. I don't care, quite frankly. I don't. I don't care if you were mad, if you were happy, if you went up there and said, peace, brother, and smacked him in the mouth. I don't care. Win the football game, period. Done. There's no excuse that's good enough for me today on why it didn't happen. None.
No, and I'm completely with you on that. And I think, too, you're talking about a team in year three under Gus Bradley, where the first 2 years, there has been a lot of talk about learning from these losing experiences and, you know, the lessons that you can take out of that kind of thing. Like, there's a lot of that talk, right? And at some point, that attitude has to turn into no more. Like, that attitude has to completely turn, and the real questions that are being asked about whether Gus Bradley is the right person to get that question turned around from, these are the lessons we can learn from losing, to, it is not acceptable to lose in this culture anymore and in this locker room, is a difficult transition to make for someone who's been preaching it that way for a couple years now. And I think the way that it gets changed is you find a way to win that game instead of losing.
Right. Well, then learn the lessons. How many lessons do you need? You've got 28 of them now. 28 losses out of 36 games. How many lessons until you say, we've learned it. Now let's go out there and not commit five penalties on a single drive, the only drive in which the Colts found the end zone. Oh, let's not do that, all right? And let's you know, and it did hide. There were, and you hate to even talk about any positives because you feel like just you got smacked in the gut, the face, everywhere, just crushed by what happened yesterday. But, boy, I'd love to be on here talking about Josh Evans making some game-changing plays yesterday, stripping the ball. Somebody said, you know what, it's even worse than it looked. The Colts has dropped the ball going in the end zone. No, Josh Evans made a play on the ball and saved the touchdown. That's making a play, man. Give Josh Evans a pat on the back, and then he comes back the very next drive, and he tackles Philip Dorsett a half yard short of the first down when Dorsett had space around him when he caught the ball. That's a hell of an open field tackle. That is giving your team a chance to win. Capitalize on that. There were plays that were made. Alan Hurns made plays all freaking day yesterday. Okay? I mean, there were plays. TJ Yeldon made a couple of big plays yesterday. Even some of his shorter runs were runs where could easily have been stuffed for no gain. He picked up 4 or 5 yards. Those are positive plays. There were plays being made yesterday by the Jacksonville Jaguars. But it doesn't matter, because in the end result, it's just another learning experience. No, how about another winning experience? They need winning experiences. Let's get Brian. And is it Brian? I think it is. On line four. Hi, Brian. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
You know, we've got to find a way to score touchdowns. We had this problem last year, the year before. They just can't seem to get in the end zone. And this is going to sound weird, and a lot of people are probably going to disagree with what I'm saying, but I think this team is a lot closer than what a lot of people are saying. I mean, there's definitely improvement in Bortles. He looks a lot better than he did last year. There's no doubt about that. The offense is moving the ball. The defense is playing better. Other than the New England game, we've done well. But for some reason, Bradley or whoever it is, I don't understand it, but in the second quarter, this team just goes to – in a handbasket, and it's just they've got to figure that second quarter out. They've got to look at themselves. I mean, Bradley needs to figure out, take his own lesson from himself and figure out what in the world is going on in the second quarter. This team has been horrendous. I mean, as far as play calling goes, I didn't feel that the game was – there was a lot of bad play calling, but one thing is I see they've gone away from is use Bortles' asset right now, and that is his running ability. The naked bootleg would be perfect to run with him on the goal line. There's just so many plays you could mix up with Bortles, just running little outs and things like that he could do on his own with his feet that would help this team. But it just doesn't seem like they're doing that.
All right, thank you, Brian. I'm not going to get too nitpicky about the play calling because Blake ran for 41 yards yesterday. He hit wasn't the play to Allen Robinson the deep ball on a rollout, right? I mean, they moved him.
No, it was, but I think there is something to, and he specifically mentioned goal line, and they've had problems.
I like the run pass option at the goal line.
Right, they've had issues through the first 4 weeks of the season solving look, they had those issues all last year when Blake was in the game too. They just haven't figured out how to get touchdowns instead of field goals in the red zone. And I didn't particularly like the play calling, the one goal to go situation they had yesterday. I didn't love it. It was okay. You know, they had the incomplete pass to Allen Robinson, then they ran Yeldon up the middle to get to the two. And then they had the pass to Allen Hurns where Blake had pressure in his face. And maybe if he gets a chance to set his feet and get into that throw, it goes differently. But
right.
They don't do much towards the middle of the field, and there's a lot of teams in the NFL that are very successful in that part of the field that have a lot going towards that part of the field.
True, but you know, your biggest asset is not playing right now in the middle of the field.
Sure.
Right? I mean, your other big guy in there finally caught his first pass this week, and I don't know how you...
But Hurns, Robinson, and Mercedes aren't exactly little guys.
I understand. I'm not trying to nitpick. The one thing I would say is I do agree that they are better, but, you know, that's not enough anymore. This is not, hey, let's all play and hope we just develop by the end of the year. That's what I do when I coach soccer on the weekend, Tony. Let's all try to get better, okay? Win. You're getting paid millions of dollars to win, not just to get better, not to be better than a team. Hey, we're better than we were in 2013. God, I hope so. You were arguably the worst first half in the history of the National Football League, as bad as that. You better be better than that. You better be significantly better. That's not anything that impresses me. We're better than last year. You stunk the last 2 years. You damn well better be better than a team that won 7 games in 2 years, period. So that is not a barometer to me of anything. How many games are you winning? Done.
Yeah.
Over.
And statistically, from a scoring perspective, they're not. They're 31st in the league. They're averaging 15.5 points a game. The only team scoring less than them is San Francisco, who has been an abject disaster since opening night.
I've had a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook, the latest one coming in from Terry0806 on Twitter. Why are the refs targeting us? Even Tony Baselli and Jeff Logman said many of the calls were bad. I didn't agree with all the ones they thought were bad. Talvin Smith hits a guy in the head a step and a half out of bounds. I don't care how violent it is. He does it right in front of the referee. And you're surprised the referee throws a flag? That's on Talvin Smith. Why are you even touching that guy a yard and a half out of bounds? Don't touch him, and the flag doesn't get called. Don't put it in the ref's hands to say, hey, how violent was that shot to the head? Don't hit a guy, period, out of bounds, and you won't get that call. I mean, look, it was every call perfect? No, but as you pointed out to me off the air, Tony, we got a pass interference call that set up the Jags in Colts territory.
Yeah.
As they're going down, right, that preceded the bad snap that the Jags shot themselves in the foot on.
The next play was Newski snapped it under between Blake Bortles' legs.
I understand frustration when the calls don't go your way. I truly do. But there's been a flood of, they're out to get us, they want the Colts to win, they're targeting. I mean, if that's the case, then go buy a ticket WWE. Because if that's what you think the NFL is, maybe you do, and that's your prerogative. But I don't think anyone is, quote, out to get the Jags. They don't need to be.
No.
Are you kidding me? I mean, they don't need to be. The Jags are out to get themselves with the way they played yesterday with all those penalties.
The only call from that whole game yesterday that I was like, are you serious about this right now, was
the pass
interference at the 3-yard line. That's not pass interference. Like, in the official throwing a flag on that is absurd. But that was the only one, especially considering Devon House did that exact same thing at least 2 more times to the exact same receiver
right.
on basically the same route, and they didn't throw a flag on the other two.
Hey,
come on.
Rest call, they blow it. But, you know, then the Jags had 12 men on the field after that as well.
You know, I know.
Don't continue to compound it. It went missed tackle. On 3rd and long.
Yeah, Talvin
right?
got dragged across the first.
Got dragged across. To make that tackle, none of those penalties happen because you're off the field. Make the tackle, then pass interference, unnecessary roughness, face mask, another pass interference, the one you're talking about, and 12 men on the field. Finally, Hasselbeck hits Fleener for a 2-yard touchdown. You give them enough chances, they're going to score. Kevin from Savannah up next. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, the only problem with hanging on to talk to you guys.
We appreciate it.
You touch on every subject that I was going to talk. Regarding Gus Bradley. When you combine his what he had to say after the game yesterday and the way he acted in the win over Miami by jumping around like he won the SEC championship, I just don't believe that he is head coach material. I mean, it's just too many things over the past 3 years that makes you shake your head and wonder, you know, what he's thinking. And if I could, regarding Bortles, I mean, it seems like they're coaching him to play like Chad Henne. He drops back, and it looks like they're telling him, if this isn't open, go here automatically, don't run out of the pocket, throw the ball away. I mean, too many times yesterday, he dropped back on like a 2-yard out and just zinged the ball over there without even looking, and there would be two people covering the guy. I mean, you've got to ad lib a little bit. He's not Cam Newton, but I mean, you've got to drop back and you've got to be a quarterback. You can't be a robot back there and just follow the rules all the time. You follow me?
Yeah, Kevin, I got you. All right. And I, without knowing specific play calls and what the intent is and what he's being told to do on any given snap, it's difficult for me to pick them apart on a one-by-one basis. But I understand your point. Look, bottom line, Bortles threw for nearly 300 yards, but he threw 50 times to get there. I'm not saying that's great. It's not super efficient now.
Okay? 6 yards in a 10.
He didn't beat
you. 6 yards in a 10.
He didn't beat you, but he also didn't win the game. That's the point Jeff Prosser was making earlier. You got to put him on the back sometimes and You got to do better. He didn't beat you. He didn't turn it over, right? And he did throw for a bunch of yards, but he didn't put it in the end zone. And he didn't beat you. He didn't win. He played well enough to win if they don't shoot themselves in the foot. But at what point are you going to say, when are you going to stop shooting yourselves in the foot? How many more games are you going to have like that? Almost every opponent you play is going to be superior to the team that the Colts fielded yesterday due to the quarterback situation alone. Now, I'm not saying the Bucs are in that case because Jameis Winston right now is turning it over like, you know, I don't know, something that turns it over a lot, whatever that would be. He's turning it over like a quarterback who throws a lot of interceptions.
I think in the conversation about Gus Bradley, I think Gus was a really good head coach for a team that decided to go as young as they did. To be that buffer between the locker room and the public, right? I think Gus is very good at that. And now that this team, if they're going to tell you it's ready to start winning, is Gus the right guy? Right? I think he was the perfect guy for the buffer guy between a young team and all the mistakes they're going to make and the reality of the outside world. I think he was perfect for that. Is he the right guy to lead them to being a team that's ready to win games? That question is unanswered right now, and it's leaning towards no based on the results that we're getting.
Until they start winning, you have to leave that at best open-ended. 641-1010 is the phone number. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. If you're going to talk profanely to me, I prefer you do it on the text line than the airwaves. That's better. That way it doesn't have to go out and challenge the FCC to come down on us. So we appreciate those who do keep their comments like that to the text line. And again, today we're asking you fan feedback spotlight brought to you by Tom Bush Family Dealerships. Which three words best describe how you feel today as a Jaguar fan? You can tweet us, Facebook page, the whole nine yards. Come back with more of your calls on the other side. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's difficult to swallow because there were a lot of opportunities left on the field, I think. I think we could have scored a lot more points than we did. You know, so it just goes back to execution. You know, so I think we'll continue to work on that, but it's definitely frustrating.
Blake Bortles talking about the frustration of not scoring touchdowns, settling for field goals in the red zone. Now, Blake, I don't think you're alone in that frustration, if Jag fandom is any indication today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you. Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Wild West Guns and Gold, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, offering a free scope mounting with a rifle or scope purchase right now. By the way, they've got everything from revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between. They'll meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor. Visit them online at guns4jax.com, guns, the numeral 4, J-A-X.com, or visit them, even better yet, on South Lane Avenue. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Back in the 1010XL studios as the Jaguars Today studios down at Everbank continue to undergo, or the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio, actually, continues to undergo some renovations, let's just say, right now. Let's go back to the phones, Tony, and welcome Matt to the show. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Lousy, my man. But you know what? That was just an unacceptable and ridiculous performance yesterday. And the loss stings even more because, flat out, that was the game the Jaguars should have won, period. No excuses for that. And for Gus Bradley to keep saying, you know what, dude, that was an unbelievable game, that was a great performance, shut up, man. That's just ridiculous. I'm sick of hearing that. It's always sunshine and rainbows with this guy. He needs to go, man. Look, I'm not expecting the guy to be Jim Mora on the post-game interviews, but get pissed off, man. Show some accountability. Get on these guys, man. This team lacks discipline. We lack heart. We don't have any good leadership. It's just a joke, man. Gus needs to go, and Dave Caldwell, he's becoming no better than Gene Smith. I've seen enough of Gus. Dave Caldwell's on thin ice. something needs to be done, man. I'm sick of this crap, and that's all I got to say.
All right, Matt. I think you said it. I don't know if it, you know, that's Matt's opinion. I'll say that I will. The one thing in terms of pounding the podium, I do think it is my guess is all it is, Tony, is that you see the guy, the do your job guy, right? We saw Del Rio. What remember what the big visual was of Del Rio before he got hired for the Jags? Remember when he jumped on Julius Peppers' back?
Yeah.
After the Panthers won a game, he was defense coordinator, and people thought, oh, we're going to get this rah-rah guy. This is going to be fantastic. He's going to be fired up. He's going to be the polar opposite of Tom Coughlin. But when you get the job as the head guy, sometimes you realize you can't be that raving lunatic, you know, for lack of a better term, that you sometimes channel as a coordinator. Look, you're fully entitled to feel the way you feel, Matt, and you're not alone in the way you feel.
No.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to guess along with why a head coach would show those tendencies as a coordinator and then kind of back off, because I think they feel like if they lose it, who is everybody going to look to, you know, that they have the steady hand on the rudder?
Well, and I think Gus and what has happened through the first 2+ years here, there are a lot of fans that after the way that game went yesterday are ready to get off the Gus bus, whatever you want to call it. They're done with Gus. I think there's a lot of fans that are kind of trending that way right now, and it's understandable for those fans to be trending that way. I think when you look at the history of this Jaguars franchise, right, Del Rio was a guy who came in. He was a player's coach. When it got to the last couple of years, he tried to be more of a disciplinarian, and a bunch of those guys that have been in that locker room were kind of like, what is – we know who you are. This isn't going to work with us, right? And that's, he had lost the fan base. Then he started losing the locker room. And then it's, we got to do something
right
in Jacksonville. Now, I wasn't covering the Jaguars when Tom Coughlin was at the end of it here. I know he lost the fans. Y'all can say whatever you want to about it was the biggest mistake this organization ever made. You turned on Tom. The fan base turned on Tom. I don't know if the locker room did or not, right? But I think when the fans start turning, and if the results don't start turning around for this team, at some point he's going to lose the locker room. I'm not saying that he has yet. I think the guys love him. I really do.
I do too.
I think the guys absolutely love him, and that they do go to battle for that guy. They just haven't found a way to win those games, and that may be because of Gus. I don't know. But he hasn't lost the locker room yet, but the fan base is certainly trending away.
All right, let's go to Anthony up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, fellas. What needs to happen, I think, is this is the NFL is a business, and Shad Khan is a successful businessman, and he will get rid of Gus Bradley and David Caldwell because they're not doing their jobs. And I don't know any other jobs. If you're not doing your job, you're out the door, and that's what's going to happen. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. I mean, look, and again, you feel any way you like about it.
Yeah.
In terms of, are they doing their job? Well, I mean, are they doing them well enough, I guess, is obviously they're doing the job. Are they doing it up to the satisfaction of the fan base? And for Anthony, he would answer no, as far as that goes. Let's go back to the phones. Dave, you're up next here on 1010XL. Hello, Dave.
Hey, good morning, y'all. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
All right, first of all, I am not going to jump on the Josh Scobie bandwagon.
Thank you.
Let's
leave it to the side then. Thank you.
That game was lost before he missed two field goals in a row. But anyway, I do believe Gus Bradley needs to change his philosophy. I don't know, man. He's just like he's babying the people. And maybe Shad Khan needs to start charging him for every game he loses.
All right. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. The game was, that's the thing, though. It wasn't lost before he missed those field goals. There were things they did their darndest maybe to not win it or to put it away at that point, but the game wasn't lost because that kick goes through. The Jags win, so clearly then it wasn't lost.
Yep.
You know, Mike Borquin, who's one of our most loyal followers on Twitter, at KayakFish, says the kick in overtime was dead on, took a crazy turn. Announcers mentioned that's why Vinatieri chose the other end. Make the kick, man. I'm sorry. It took a crazy turn. I don't think the wind was howling. In fact, Rick Ballew came on the broadcast and said, guys, I know you're talking about the wind. He goes, this is as calm as it's been down here on the sidelines. It was extremely, according to Rick, very calm down at field level, wind-wise. I'm sure there may be a slight advantage going the other way. Kick it. You know what? Start it on the right side if the wind's blowing across you, and don't hook it. I mean, sorry. You make the kick, Tony. Just make the kick. In the end, doesn't matter why it went, why it missed, why it didn't miss. Doesn't matter if you're the better team or not. Go ask Florida State if it matters if you think you're the better team.
Right.
And missing field goals.
It's the National Football League.
You're a professional kicker.
48 yards, you make it.
Right, 48
yards. It's not like it's in a blizzard. Whatever the wind was down there was negligible. Make the kick.
Right. Let's go to Jerome up next here on 1010XL. Hello, Jerome.
Hey, good morning, good morning. How y'all doing today?
Good, what's up?
I just want to talk about Gus. It's the nature of the business. I mean, wins matter. Whether if that dude kicks the field goal and makes it, then we're not talking about Gus. But now that he didn't, and the loss goes to Gus. But at the same time, I do think they need to get a head coach in there with more of an offensive mind. Because I think the last couple years since Jack Del Rio and now Gus, there hasn't been an offensive mind at the helm that can really lead this offense or have any input on this offense. Because I'm pretty sure Greg Olsen is more smarter about the offense than Gus Bradley is about an offense, which I think the defense shows Gus Bradley, but the offense, there's no Gus in the offense. And I think that's what it really needs. And, I mean, I hate to say it, but, I mean, I like Dave Caldwell. I think he should stay. I think his draft picks are good. I think he screwed up on the kicker, though. He messed up on that one, though. But that's okay. It happens. But at the same time, I think Gus needs to go. I'll keep Dave, though.
All right. Thank you, Jerome. Here's one on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. It's an interesting way of looking at it from the 904 area code. I'm tired of people looking for Gus to get pissed off. The knock on Del Rio malarkey from the players was their lack of consistency. They kept changing who they were. Gus has been very consistent in who he is, and if he changes now, he'll lose the locker room.
Yep.
We should be glad he is being consistently not upset. That is a fair way to look at it. Right, the players, right.
The players should be, and that's why the players still have his back because they know who Gus is, and they feel like that's not going to change. He's not going to pull the carpet out from under their guys, and all of a sudden, you know, they lose that game to Indianapolis, and he's going to be at the podium throwing everybody under the bus but himself, right? Like, that's not who Gus is, and they appreciate that about him. And, look, the fans should be mad today. You absolutely should.
Right, and I totally get the fan reaction, though, because you hear the same thing. Every loss, we're going to learn from this, we're going to look at the tape. It's going to, you know, we're going to be truthful, tell the truth Monday. Okay. Then at some point, that cumulative learning has to affect change. You have to take the lessons learned and put them into a better performance on the field and so on and so forth. Win some more games. Let me get Randall in really quick before we break. Hi, Randall. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, listen, I'm concerned about the fan apathy. You know, we've been pretty fortunate to have two of the best owners in Mr. Weaver and Mr. Kahn, but inevitably, it's going to, the apathy is going to spread to them. You know, Gus Bradley and Caldwell, they're at their ceiling, and they've gotten players that may not be playing poorly, but they may be playing at their ceiling. They may be inadequate, but management has inadequacies too, and they may be not able to go. But he was a coordinator for a reason. Caldwell was mid-level management for a reason. This guy was kicking in the Arena League for a reason. When people show you who they are, you got to believe them.
Yeah, but Randall, I mean, forget the Myers aspect of the comment. Most coaches are coordinators before. So to say because he was a coordinator, he's unqualified to be a head coach, that's the path most coaches take. And you don't just become a GM overnight in the National Football League. You pay your dues, you work way up through the system. So, I mean, the fact that Dave Caldwell was below the GM level in Atlanta is not an indictment on his ability. I'm not saying I'm not arguing the job they've done, but the fact that you look at Gus and say, well, he was a coordinator, he showed you who he was. Well, Bill Belichick was the coordinator at one point in time, right? I mean, a lot of the great coaches were coordinators. That's generally where you find those guys. So, I mean, that to me is not, you know, indicative of, I mean, should that mean that you go out there next time and not hire a coordinator? Right? Dan Quinn was a coordinator in Seattle, Tony. What's Atlanta's record right now? I believe it's 4-4 in the loss column, right? That was not a good team last year, right? So, I mean, get the right one. I'm not saying, I'd love for Gus and Dave to be the right ones, and I hope that they rip off the next three wins and go into the bye with a winning record and fantastic. But right now, looking at this result this weekend, it's hard to expect that to be the case. 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get on board. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony will come back. Fan Feedback Spotlight asking you what are your three words that you would describe how you feel today as a Jaguar fan. We'll try to get some more of your calls in on the other side as well. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. XL primetime, top of the hour, so stick around for those guys. Sure they'll talk about this game and other things coming up over the next 3 hours. Let's get a few more calls in before we get the Fan Feedback Spotlight rolling. Tony Hags is next up at 641-1010. Hello, Hags.
Hey, Mike. You know, I don't pretend to know anything really behind the scenes, so I was wondering what your opinion might be on the fact that the fans, it just seems like whether they're handling these guys with kid gloves or whether a lot of these guys just don't have the stones or just don't care enough to get out there and play injured. Awful lot of guys with a game being decided, you know, just by inches yesterday. Awful lot of guys sitting on the sideline. I mean, we lost Pozlesny almost the whole second half. And if he turns around and he's back again next week, you just got to wonder why, you know, what kind of training staff we have that, you know, they're not getting these guys back out on the field.
All right. Thank you, man. Look, I'm not Paul Pozlesny, if you knew him at all.
With a torn bicep.
Eats, sleeps, and drinks football. This guy would do anything short of laying his life down on the field to try to win a football game. Paul Pozlesny's not out there. I assume he's hurt. I give all these guys the benefit of the doubt. They're a lot tougher than I am, every single one of them. All right? And I'm not going to cast aspersions. Look, you could be frustrated with guys that seem perpetually hurt. If you want to, you can feel any way you like. I'm just saying I'm not going to question, hey, Brandon Linder, why don't you suck it up and go out there this week? I assume he can't be effective.
And I don't think that Brandon Linder has a shoulder injury because of the training staff.
No.
You know, and I don't think that Paul Pozlesny's ankle got turned because of the training
staff.
Nor
do I think Julius Thomas coming down funny on his hand is a fault of the training staff either.
They happen. Look, and injuries happen across the league. Dallas, you watch that team last night in New Orleans. They lost a couple more guys last night. They lost Lance Dunbar probably for the season last night. Their quarterback's already down for 2 months. They've lost Dez Bryant. Injuries are not exclusive to Jacksonville. You played a team yesterday without their star quarterback, who's one of the top handful at the position in the entire league. It's not just Jacksonville dealing with these things. It's a league-wide problem.
All right, Anthony says we need to pump the brakes on the Gus being fired talk, which, by the way, to be clear, we are not pushing the agenda. We're just letting fans sound off on the way they feel about it, and let's let Anthony do the same. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good.
All right. Well, my thing is if everybody remembers, Marvin Lewis was, everybody wanted to fire him several years ago, and the Bengals stuck with him. They stuck with the process. Now they wanted, I think, the second best team in the AFC than third best in the NFL. And I think if we're doing what we did to Gabbert, changing the coordinator, changing the coach, is going to ruin the kid. And I think we got a good quarterback. We just need to stick with it. It's going to suck at first, but in the long run, I think we're going to reap the benefits of a good team. And we just need to relax and just let the process do what it does, because if we switch coaches right now, we're still going to have a horrible team. I don't care who they put in there. If they could bring Lombardi back and he coached his team, they're not going to win. That's the bottom line. I think if we stick with the process, stick with the coaching, and just have a consistent offensive, or stick with the team that we have, I think it'll be good in the long run.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate it. I'll say that Marvin Lewis never had a 2+ year stretch like the Jags are having right now. Granted, in different circumstances, I understand how that goes. Probably the low point for him, he went 8-8 in 2006, 7-9 the following year, and then 4-11-1. And that's probably when the heat was most turned up. But he bounced back going 10-6. Then the following year, he went 4-12. But since then, he's been very consistent. And they do look like one of the best teams in the league right now, if not the best so far this season. But, you know, everything's different. Coaches do have an impact. I mean, why do, you know, would one coach have the same effect with the New England Patriots that Bill Belichick has? There's something to coaches, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't get paid millions of dollars, Tony. There's got to be,
right?
When you say we would stink no matter who's coaching the team, sounds like you think there's zero impact that's made based on who the head coach is. I don't believe that. Now, I'm not saying that they should or need to make a change. That's honestly, it's pointless for me to even weigh in on it because Shad Khan's the only one who's going to make the determination
right.
on this.
I think the product on the field is forcing you to ask the question.
Absolutely.
Just like the fan base.
I think it's a fair question to ask.
Right, and that's a reflection of what we're talking about today. Look, I don't know if Gus is the right guy. If you ask me yes or no, is Gus the right guy, right now my answer is no. If I had to say yes or no to whether Gus Bradley's the right guy for this team, I don't see how, based on what I've seen, I could say yes.
The only thing you could point to, the most significant thing you can point to is 8-28. I'm sorry, and I get all the circumstances that went into that. I do. But here you are. I mean, this is a game that you can't let get away.
No.
And these next few weeks are going to be very telling. If you think this is the Heat being turned up, my goodness, come back from Tampa 1-4. Whew.
Speaking of coaches being fired, this coming from Omar Kelly, the Sun Sentinel can confirm Joe Philbin has been fired and Dan Campbell is now the interim head coach.
So there you have it. The one team.
24-28 career record so far for Philbin.
24-28? So Gus rips off 16 in a row. If he wins the next 16, he will be at Joe Philbin's mark as far as that goes. And, you know, look, remember this in free agency next year. Ndamukong Suh is playing like garbage, okay? If you watch that game yesterday, he's getting thrown around. He made a few plays. Tony, you got Chris Ivory bowling him over.
Yep, next question.
I mean, on and on and on. And the guy's giving him zero impact for all that money. So for everyone who say, hey, we got to get Ndamukong Suh, would he have been better than what you have? I don't know. He hasn't played better than that. And he certainly hasn't played anywhere close to what he's worth. I get the I want to spend money, too. I'm like, hey, Shad, let me spend your money for you. Go get this guy. Go get that guy. A, they got to want to come here. And then B, more often than not, history tells us that free agents get overpaid and they don't perform up to that level of expectation. And in this case, the coach got fired down in Miami after four games. There you have it. All right, the fan feedback spotlight brought to you, Tony, by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. Which three words? We got so many good ones. I'm not even going to read names. I'm just going to go down on mine. Go down the list here on the three names or the three words. What do you got over there?
I got what the radio edit. I got Eric who said built, huh? Better? Nope. From Jason, believe in defeat. Three words: fire head coach. Exasperated, fooled, righteously indignant. Okay, I know that last one was really two. Depressed, disillusioned, heartbroken, no longer care. We've been Gus champed. Three words, look out below. Frustrated, frustrating, frustration, no more excuses. It's getting old. We are built. How'd that happen? Wow, they suck. Start over again. Fire everyone again. Wait 3 years, then repeat the process. What a joke. Disgusted, disheartened, disappointed. This is rebuilding? Angry, resigned, hopeful. Time heals it all. Do your job. And finally, love my kids.
Love my kid. Love my kid too. Let's see. We go very pissed off. Gus, excuse bus. We believe in, followed by a series of question marks. Gosh, we suck. My poor liver. Score more points. Fire Gus Bradley. We need discipline. Rapidly losing hope. Do your job. Keeping my money. They're so close, and in parentheses, yet so far. There's still hope. That's a nice one. Told you so. Someone step up. Tired of losing. Beat the Bucks. Kickers are stupid. No, we can't. This one hurt. Disappointed. Disappointment in promises. Shut up, Gus. Stink, stank, stunk. Tired of losing. I give up. We suck again. Only four games. These are all different ones in people's three words that they're using. Too many passes. We can learn. Oh, no. Fire Gus Bradley. Why not now? Not enough words. On and on and on it goes. And I will comment on one that just made a comment here. 84th richest man in the world trying to save money on a kicker. LOL. Shad Khan has nothing to do with the personnel decisions on this football team. He doesn't say, hey, go save money on a kicker.
No.
Zero.
That's
to do with that decision whatsoever. But, you know, you can phrase it any way you like it. It's really up to you. We try to be, hopefully, this gives you a place to vent on Mondays, if nothing else. We'd like to be celebrating. We like to say, despite all the errors, feels good to be 2-2 and in sole possession of first place in the AFC South. That's what the Colts are saying today. unfortunately. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold. They bring you Jaguars Today every Monday. Thanks to John Osier for checking in today on the Metro Diner chat line. Thanks to Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. XL Primetime coming up next, and on we go. Logman in with us tomorrow. Jaguars Today will continue to roll on regardless. This is 1010XL, 92.5 FM.